It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Ebro, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Today, we are here to talk about a highly touted NFL draft prospect in the name of Trey Lance. Adam, are you ready to discuss this guy?
Yeah, man, we are back. It's been, it seems like it's been a little bit since we've done some prospect profiles. We did the Kadarius Toney one, but free agency's kind of been taking over right now. But yeah, it's still plenty of prospects to touch on, and Trey Lance is certainly one of the more interesting ones. So looking forward to breaking him down.
Before we get this kicked off, talking about Trey Lance, got to get this up in here, talking about a new awesome site called Collectible. Fantastic place, lets you buy and sell real equity shares in rare and exciting sports collectibles, sports cards, signed memorabilia, and so much more. You can get into this. Share prices are starting at just a dollar. So I'm on the app right now. I'm looking at a Frank Robinson 1957 Topps rookie card that's going to IPO on March 25th. You got to get into this action. Sign up with the code FTN for a chance for a limited edition Topps Project 70 cards signed by DJ Ski and over $10,000 in sports card prizes. Visit collectible.com/FTN for all the details. All right, Adam, let's jump into Trey Lance here, man. Three-star prospect per 24/7 Sports coming out of high school, stands at 6'4", 226, coming out of North Dakota State, FCS school. And this guy has got, we didn't see much of him in 2020, only played one game, but in his full season as a starter, and that's one of the things we'll have to hop into here real fast, is that the track record for him is limited as a starting quarterback at the college level. So he's got 17 games in the last two seasons, a shade above 300 passing attempts total. So we've got some tape on the guy, but is it like a mountain? And do we have 2 to 3 years of him as a starter versus somebody like a Trevor Lawrence or whoever else, like Justin Fields? No, we don't have that, man. In his full season in 2019, 2,786 passing yards, 9.7 yards per attempt. He completed a shade, almost 67% of his passes, 28 passing touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. Adam, discussing just his production off the top, what stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we only saw the one game from him in 2020, but over the course of his collegiate career, I mean, a super aggressive passer. He has an average depth of target of 11.5 throughout his career. The yards per attempt in 2019 and 2018 were at 9.7 and then 12 in his first year, but that year was what, one pass attempt, so good for him. But the 2019 season is obviously what we're looking at, where all the film and numbers really stand out, and he's going to be, I mean, he rushed for over 1,000 yards in that 2019 season. I mean, that is, I don't want to say it's unheard of at the college level, but it's like the elite prospects coming out of college that ran like that, like they were obviously, high end prospects that had a lot of potential in the NFL level. So there's no denying that Trey Lance has that too. I think it's going to be interesting to see how teams view him, because we obviously talked about Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and Zach Wilson and Mac Jones already. And I would say that Trey Lance may not be as NFL ready as any of those four, but the raw, skill set and ability. I mean, 6'4", 226 with the ability to run, and not just run like when you can, but to build an offense around him running, can take hits. Like, there's a reason Trey Lance is being regarded as a potential top 10 pick, despite the fact that he played at North Dakota State and despite the fact that he doesn't have a ton of, games under his belt.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at all that 2019 data, which is basically the sample size we're going to be discussing here, because 2020, weird year, one season, throw that out. I don't even care. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to sit here and stare at what he did in 2019. And the passing data, I mean, you're looking at all different levels of the field. 1 through 9 yards, 10 through 19, 20-plus yard passes, 120 or higher passer rating in all of those. Now, you're talking about, and we'll kind of get into some of his strengths here, Adam. The guy's got velocity. He can throw the ball. There's definitely zip on his passes. And for what you see, especially going deep, I mean, like 2019, amongst 152 quarterbacks with 20 or more deep attempts, he was 8th in passer rating on deep passes. 12 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. I mean, the guy definitely takes care of the ball. And overall, we got to get into his ability for reads and things of that nature. But good decision-making overall when you look at him as a passer. This is not a guy that's really just trying to force throws consistently. Now, is he taking as much chances or as many as somebody like Zach Wilson? No, I don't think so. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. What kind of stood out to you when you looked at Trey Lance's from a strength standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, just the obvious, you know, size. Yeah, it's 6'4", 226. Like, that's really tough to ignore when you're looking to, you know, if you're just building an NFL quarterback, you love a quarterback of that size with the ability to run. And yeah, like, he has the ability and the tendencies to push the ball downfield, but he's also smart about it. Like, he doesn't, like you said, he doesn't force a lot of throws. Like, his turnover, according to PFF, his turnover-worthy play rate was under 2% throughout his collegiate career. And again, it's not a sample. It's comparable to a Trevor Lawrence or some of these other quarterbacks that have huge, huge sample sizes in multiple seasons. But, like, you saw from just watching the tape, like, he was smart as a passer. And then when he runs, I mean, ridiculous athlete. He's going to be a quarterback similar to, you know, Cam Newton and Taysom Hill, where, like, he's not going to run out of bounds every play. Like, he has the size and strength to take hits and run through some defenders, which is obviously rare from a quarterback. And like I said, like, that ability with the solid speed, the strength, the size, like, you can build your offense around Trey Lance in the running game and go from there, which makes him really, really intriguing, not just for, you know, real life football teams, but once he gets drafted, he's going to make him really interesting in fantasy as well. Once he's, you know, under center. I mean, we'll talk about landing spots in a little bit, but I think most people believe that he's probably going to land somewhere where he doesn't start right away. But when he does, he's going to be a name to remember because he has that dual threat ability.
I was really happy to see the accuracy that he had when he was on the move. Like, all of his throws on the run, when you see him leave the pocket, his accuracy on the move compared to even other quarterbacks and stuff, I thought it was really, really good, Adam. Like, you see timing, you see anticipation from those throws. He's not behind his receivers. So that's definitely something, like, especially considering his adjustment to the next level and what system he goes to. They're going to have him on the move because that's definitely part of his skill set and something that you want to accentuate in his game is have him on bootlegs, get him outside the pocket. So his accuracy on those throws, I thought, was really, really good.
Yeah, and like, when I noticed from watching a few, more than a few of his games, but like, when he wants to run or when there's like an opportunity for him to scramble, he doesn't just, like, he's still looking down the field. Like, he's not just, you know, like, we'll talk about his weaknesses where sometimes, like, he just won't go through all of his progressions, but like, even when he's running, he's still looking down the field. Like, he's not, you know what I mean? Like, he's not, like, looking down when there's pressure. Like, he's still, like, when there's pressure in his face, he's always, or behind him or whatever, he's always looking up down the field, which is definitely a nice trait to have despite being a mobile quarterback. Like, we see a lot of these quarterbacks, if they're scrambling or getting out of the pocket, like, they just won't look at, they'll forget to look for receivers who are going to break open after their routes and kind of help him out when he's scrambling or out of the pocket, which is nice to see from a quarterback who, you know, there's a lot of people who believe he is very raw and inexperienced, which is fair, but that's definitely a nice, more kind of experience trait that he's shown.
I mean, for me, and you talked about, like, how long his collegiate career was and some of these areas that maybe he can improve on. For me, just to kick this off, dude, like, I saw the accuracy from him, but I also thought, like, and whether this is mechanics or whether it's reps and things that can be cleaned up in his game at the next level, I did see the accuracy wax and wane at times. Like, yes, a lot of his numbers are great, but if you look at overall, Adam, in 2019, amongst 117 quarterbacks with 200 or more dropbacks, 49th in adjusted completion percentage. And I talked about his ability as a deep ball passer, and some of that is like, yes, he you will see multiple times on film where he good ball placement, enough zip on the ball for deep balls. There is also a fair amount of tape where receivers are slowing down to catch deep balls from him, or where he sails wide receivers. I mean, amongst 152 quarterbacks, 20 or more deep attempts. Yes, it talked about the passer rating, but he didn't throw any freaking picks. So some of that, it's puffed up just a little bit, considering out of those 152 quarterbacks, he was 87th in adjusted deep ball completion percentage. So I think there's definitely something to be said about he needs to clean up his mechanics, that the accuracy that we see on film, it comes and goes, and it's going to be needed at a more consistent level at the NFL. So I think that's something that, like, he's definitely going to need. And, I mean, kind of leaning into, like, one of your guys, man. Like, that's something that was talked about a ton with Josh Allen coming out of college. Like, were the raw traits there? Yes. If that was able to be molded and we saw it on a consistent basis, oh my God, the ceiling that the guy has. And you see Allen take that step. I'm not comparing Trey Lance as a one-to-one to Josh Allen. What I'm saying is that are the raw traits there, and can he actualize a really ridiculous high ceiling? Yes, I think that that's possible. But I also think that the downside and the risk associated with that, because some guys just don't take that. Like, one of the things that you could teach guys, like, there are traits that transfer, and there are traits that just can't be taught. Accuracy is one of those things that, like, is it something that you can clean up? Yes. Is it a definite that you can clean up in a guy's game? I don't think it's a true definite thing to say that going from the collegiate to the NFL level, if we work on your mechanics, you will definitively become a more accurate passer. But I'm curious where you stand on that.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Josh Allen 2020 breakout isn't, it's kind of an anomaly, right? We don't see that type of progression year in and year out from quarterbacks. And, like, I've seen a lot of people compare him to Josh Allen, and there are, like, from the physical standpoint, from, like, a, I don't love the Josh Allen comparison for a couple
reasons. Like, it he doesn't he has a good arm, but it is not Josh
Allen. Josh
arm.
Allen has the strongest arm in the NFL. Like, I it's either him or Mahomes, we know that. I don't think Trey Lance has that kind of arm strength.
No,
and agreed. The difference is, sure, from a physical standpoint and from a, you know, mobile standpoint, like, both players will run through defenders. They don't like to slide and stuff like that. They're capable of running and taking hits, sure. But Trey Lance, nowhere near the aggressive type of thrower that Josh Allen is. Josh Allen will throw anything because he has the arm strength to do it. Trey Lance, we talked about, a little bit more conservative, doesn't really push balls into tight windows as much as you almost like. That's there. It often has, like, a negative connotation, like, oh, he throws into tight windows. But sometimes you need to do that. Sometimes you need to have the confidence to do that. And yeah. Josh Allen does. I don't know if Trey Lance is there yet. And you talked about how Trey Lance will kind of underthrow a lot of his deep passes. Josh Allen's a complete opposite. I mean, prior to this year, everybody's favorite thing to do was, oh, let's post the 15 clips of Josh Allen overthrowing a deep ball. Like, Josh Allen, if you're gonna miss on a deep ball, you better overthrow him. And that's what Josh Allen did. So yeah, like, that is a concern. Like, if you're underthrowing deep balls, that's obviously more concerning than overthrowing them. At least when Josh Allen was missing the deep passes, they were going 10 yards into the back of the end zone where nobody can make a play on it. So while I do see some of the comparisons to Josh Allen, I also see a lot that's just not there yet, and there are some differences in their game styles.
Yeah, for me, man, and kind of leaning in, still talking about the Josh Allen comparison, I get that Trey Lance rushed for over 1,000 yards in that full season. His ability as a rusher, and you're talking about he's coming from the FCS level. I mean, turning on the film and comparing that to his stats and stuff, I honestly was a little bit underwhelmed about his rushing ability. Like, his elusivity, his vision in the open field, for a trait that is talked about in spades as a plus and should be in his basket as one of his best things going to the NFL. Can the guy be a good rusher? Yes. But I do feel like we're overstating, or at least I've heard it out on social media, his ability as a rusher. I watch him on film and I feel like it's a little bit overstated. Like, yes, he's a mobile quarterback. Is he a better rusher than, say, somebody like a Zach Wilson, who I think is more mobile than he is a runner? Yes. But am I going to put Trey Lance up there with, like, somebody like a Lamar Jackson or these other high-end, or even, hell, Josh Allen? Am I going to put him in that tier of rushing quarterbacks considering what I saw from vision, his ability to break tackles? Because, yes, he broke tackles, but at the FCS level, I'm watching him break, like, bad angle tackles, arm tackles, and things like that. Is he going to get that at the NFL level in some spots? Yes. Is he going to get that at the regularity that he got at the collegiate level? I'm saying no. So, as much as that's talked about as a plus for him, it's also, I feel like it's a little bit overstated, Adam. But am I wrong, man?
No, I could see it. I just think, and with his size, like, it's something he will be able to do more often than a lot of other quarterbacks at the NFL level, for sure. But yeah, he's like, he's nowhere near Lamar Jackson because nobody's near Lamar Jackson as a runner, and or Kyler Murray as a runner.
But like, do you think he's even as good as Cam Newton? Because that's the other name in his rushing that I keep hearing out there. No. And I'm like, he's not Cam Newton. He's not as good of a rusher as Cam Newton is or was.
No, he's not. He's not there. But I think he can be a little bit comparable as a rusher to Josh Allen, where you can draw up a lot of those red zone plays where he, you know, he's from 3 yards, 5 yards out. Maybe like I could compare him as like a little bit more versatile as a runner than Dak Prescott, maybe, because okay, that's, you know,
yeah, I like that.
Dak's a fine, you know, fine runner, but he's not like he does most of his work inside the 10-yard line. I think Trey Lance will do more work from in between the 20s than Dak Prescott with the red zone stuff. But yeah, I don't think he's like, he's nowhere close to Lamar. He's nowhere close to Kyler. He's nowhere close to Cam. Like, those are three of the best rushing quarterbacks we've ever seen.
And for me, like, I think that if you're talking about his ability as a rusher, like exactly like you're discussing here, Adam, and Dak is a great comparison. Dak's ability as a rusher and what helped you so much in fantasy and stuff was the rushing touchdowns and stuff. Like, I don't see Trey Lance as a guy that's going to be running for 800 yards in a season in the NFL. Can he run for 400, 500, or can he run and get you 8 rushing touchdowns? Yes, I think that's in the range of outcomes. As a guy that, like, we talk about Konami codes and we talk about their abilities as a rusher, I think that you're really going to be looking for the touchdown equity with that as far as his skill set at the next level, and not so much him as a guy that's going to be able to get you 700-800 yards rushing on the ground like he did in college.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And so to get back to him as a passer, the other thing that I think that he's going to have to clean up at the NFL level is I feel like he was late to feel the rush in college. You see a lot of different times where his pocket presence is good, but there were other times that you see, even versus other quarterbacks in this draft class, where he could have stepped up in the pocket, bought himself some more time to find an open man, and is he either rolling out, and it wasn't something I saw in this instance a lot, but rolling out of clean pockets. Really what I'm talking about here is he was either late to feel the rush coming, whether that was backside and what have you, and are there incompletions? Was he pressured? Could he have stepped up in the pocket versus either rolling out or getting his passes tipped or getting sacked in the pocket? I feel like that pocket awareness is something he is going to have to improve at the next level. Especially, you're talking about the NFL. The game is going to be faster. It's faster from even collegiate quarterbacks that played in the SEC going to the NFL. Much less if you're talking about a guy that we're talking about, a small sample of starting, and that starting sample was at the FCS level, and the jump that he's going to be asked to make to the NFL level.
Yeah, I think there's obviously reasons that a lot of people believe he's raw and inexperienced, and it makes sense. He's, what, 18 career starts and like 340 career pass attempts. Like, that's going to be something he needs to prove that isn't a weakness for him necessarily as much as people think. But like, he doesn't have the experience playing these elite defenses as a Justin Fields or a Trevor Lawrence or a Mac Jones, or playing in the huge spotlight games as those guys. So like, there's a reason I think most people have him outside the top three, But if you are projecting in terms of just raw overall talent and ceiling, then yeah, Trey Lance is somebody that needs to be in that top three consideration. But you know, there's obviously also reasons why he's, I would say, probably more popular in that, you know, 3 to 5 range. Probably not 5, but you know, maybe. I mean, this is a good quarterback class, like we talked about. There's Trevor Lawrence, there's Zach Wilson, Fields, Mac Jones, Lance. Like, there are some good quarterbacks in this draft class. And like we talked about before, or once we started, like, all these quarterbacks, in my opinion, are more pro-ready than Trey Lance, which is a weakness at the same point as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how teams view him, especially where he lands. If they say, okay, you're just going to totally, like, unless somebody gets hurt, you're not playing this year. You need to kind of learn the ins and outs, learn the ropes, especially behind a veteran quarterback. Or is it a situation, depending on where he goes, where he, you know, he has a training camp battle, wins out, and just shows that he is, you know, mature as a quarterback and knows what to do, and despite the lack of experience at the collegiate level.
So for Trey Lance, I feel like he's discussed, you're talking about, like, a lot of people state it in that manner, that he's raw. And I don't think that it's so much that he's raw, but, like, for me, I feel like there are inconsistencies. Like, I talked about with his accuracy. Like, I talked about his pocket presence. I feel like,
it's a lot of it's mechanics-based, too. So, like, yeah, like, that kind of ties into him being a little bit, just a little bit raw, because he, like, but if he gets, you know, NFL coaching and he gets to work with a, you know, a veteran established quarterback for the first year, like, that could be huge for him.
Yeah, for me, I think the verbiage needs to be not that he's a raw prospect, because I feel like that's talking about lacking nuance and some things of that nature. For me, I think that he needs to become more consistent. Sure. I think that he's an inconsistent prospect, if that makes more sense.
No, it definitely does.
So we're talking about landing spots, Adam. Kick us off here. Who is your closest player comp for Trey Lance, and where do you see him landing in the NFL draft?
I see a little bit, like, I know there's been, like, Taysom Hill chatter, like, he's a better version of Taysom Hill. Mm-hmm. Maybe as a runner I could see it, but, like, we like Taysom Hill as a passer, but Trey Lance has way higher of a ceiling as a passer than Taysom Hill. So, like, size-wise, the ability to run kind of reminds me of Ryan Tannehill a little bit, especially, you know, they're similar builds. They're both good enough at, or I don't want to say good enough, they're both good athletes, period. I think Lance has more arm talent than Tannehill, but like you said, Tannehill, once he got in the right system going to Tennessee, just super consistent. You know, he really hasn't had many, if at all, bad games since he's joined the Titans. So I kind of like that comp for him. In terms of landing spots, Atlanta was popular for a while, but now we have Matt Ryan. They restructured his contract. He's probably going to be there for the next 2 years. Could they still take him at 4? Yeah. Like, how many times is Atlanta going to be inside the top 5 in the NFL draft order with Matt Ryan under center? But I think they probably go elsewhere now. It's going to sound like a broken record, but the teams that could potentially trade up, the Carolinas, the Denvers. And I would love to see him a mobile quarterback in this Kyle Shanahan system in San Francisco. That would be probably my favorite landing spot. Carolina would be good too, but I'm just, you know me, dude. I'm just so sold on the idea of Justin Fields playing for the Panthers next year that I don't want to talk about anything else. But I would really like San Francisco if they either traded up or he fell to them at 11, which is very possible that he's there at 11. I would like that fit. He wouldn't have to play right away. Jimmy Garoppolo, when healthy, is good enough. And Kyle Shanahan's a coordinator and a head coach that you want a young quarterback to kind of learn from. I think that'd be perfect for him, especially because that system would be even more dangerous with a real, real mobile quarterback. And Jimmy Garoppolo is not that.
So I've heard of those landing spots, and before I kind of get into where I see him falling or where I'd like to see him land, I hadn't heard all the chatter about Taysom Hill, but that's actually where I kind of stand with it. And there are a lot of differences there. Now, with Taysom, I think Taysom actually has a little bit of a stronger arm than Trey Lance, but I think Trey Lance is a far better, more nuanced passer than Taysom Hill. And you know how much I love Taysom Hill, man. And so to say that, it means something. Like, I like Trey Lance. I think that Taysom Hill, if you were to kind of meld, I like the Tannehill. I like the Tannehill comp a good bit. For me, it's like if you were to make a combination, and we're looking at a range of outcomes here for him, like Taysom Hill, and I'm going to steal a comp that was kind of talked to in DMs on Twitter, man. Shout out to Nick Whalen. Taysom Hill versus like Colin Kaepernick. That's kind of where I stand as far as his range of outcomes. I think Trey Lance is going to need a system, especially going into the NFL. Now, whether that's starting this year, getting exposure this year, or even walking into next year, I think that Trey Lance is going to need a system that's tailored to his strengths,
right,
that's going to accentuate what he does well and kind of cover up some of these inconsistencies that come up in his film like a lot. And so I'm going to bring up two different spots here, and one of them is me trying to make any damn sense out of the tea leaves of the moves that they're making right now. And that's the Detroit Lions, man. You have Anthony Lynn there as an offensive coordinator. They have signed field stretcher-type wide receivers with Rashad Perriman, Tyrell Williams. You know, do they address the position with that same type of archetype and speed? Khalif Raymond. All these kind of speed guys that could stretch the field. And for me, you're looking at a place that needs a quarterback, has not been discussed about taking a quarterback, sits inside the top eight, and could easily do so. And you look at the archetype that Anthony Lynn has coveted over the last few years. Yes, Justin Herbert landed there last year. Did we know that Justin Herbert had that type of mobility and was that going to be as big of a part of his game? No, nobody was talking about that. But you look at the previous years before that. Like, he had Tyrod and all these other types of mobile quarterbacks. So I think that Detroit is a really sneaky spot that could be for Trey Lance in the NFL draft. And the other one I want to bring up here, man, we've talked about this team overall. They just signed a quarterback both to insulate them in the backup role and another quarterback to insulate them for the starting position this year. If Trey Lance falls into that 11-12 range, or if he falls into the mid-teens, which is possible, if a team like decides, like, okay, we want somebody that's more pro-ready, more polished, whatever, you know, we don't know what NFL team boards look like right now. So as crazy as it sounds, could a team take Mac Jones over Trey Lance? It could happen. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with it. I'm just saying that, like, we see quarterbacks fall in the NFL draft, and especially in these types of off-seasons, where pro scouts don't have the ability to all kind of get together. There's not this groupthink. There's not a combine this year. So the place I want to bring up here, Adam, is Washington. And if we see Trey Lance fall into the early teens, you have a team in the footballs that have their quarterback position set up for this season right now. If they want to start Ryan Fitzpatrick all freaking season, if they want to go with Taylor Heineke or one of those guys, they could easily do that. They sit at 20, and if he falls into the mid-teens or high teens, could they trade up to, say, 12? If a team like San Francisco is like, you know, actually, we're fine with rolling with Jimmy G. That's fine. We're just going to continue to build up with him. It's been a ton of injuries. All the other teams after him. Chicago's not going to take up a guy probably like him. And all these other teams in the mid-teens. I think Washington, and you look at the archetype of quarterbacks. Like, yes, Ron Rivera highly coveted Cam Newton previously. I think they want that mobility aspect in their offense. And could they design a system, and they have the skill players around somebody like Trey Lance? I think it's possible, dude, but what do you think about Washington and Detroit?
Definitely like Detroit. Now, does Detroit view Jared Goff as the, like, I know what Jared Goff said. He had his introductory press conference with the Lions. I was like, yeah, I don't see this as a rebuild. And I'm like, yeah, you should probably change.
Don't listen to Blue Steel. We can't listen to Blue Steel.
No, he should change his glasses if he doesn't see that as a rebuild. Just facts. Go get a better pair of bifocals or something, my guy. But yeah, I mean, like, Anthony Lynn obviously has a track record with Tyrod Taylor. I guess two track records, but it was cut short last year. And then Justin Herbert was relatively mobile, especially they used him a lot inside the 5-yard line. And yeah, I mean, I think they have so many other needs as well, which makes it tough for Detroit. Like, any position you could pretty much look at and say they should draft one of those players, except for maybe tight end and running back. Washington's interesting. I'm going to say no, because actually, low-key, it'd be great for Ryan Fitzpatrick, because we know Fitzpatrick is at his best when he's starting and then not starting and then coming back in and starting. And that'll be good for fantasy because that means Trey Lance would.
They could still let him start all freaking season. Washington showed us last year that like they wanted to win. And so unlike Miami, we could see in Washington that they let Fitzpatrick start. Like if this team happens to start out 4-0 or something like that.
And it's still a young nucleus around Trey Lance to build around. Terry McLaurin's super young. He'll be in his third year heading into this season. Curtis Samuel's still young. Antonio Gibson's in his second year. Like, their oldest player on offense is Logan Thomas, really. So, yeah, I don't think – he's definitely not going to be there at 19 for them to pick. But like you said, if they trade up, it's possible. I think my favorite would be San Francisco. But, again, I don't think we would see him play this year unless Jimmy Garoppolo went down or something like that.
Yeah, and that's fair, man. I just – more and more I've been had time to percolate about the San Francisco fit. I get it, but I don't know, man. Like, and I could be totally off base on this. I just don't see them going that direction. I see them possibly going with a corner, possibly going offensive line. I could see them going a few other directions. I just don't see them going with Trey Lance. And again, I could be absolutely wrong with this. But we've seen crazy things happen in the NFL draft. We've seen players fall. Lamar Jackson fell in the first round. It's not insane to see this happen. So, I think there's a wider range Bills, of outcomes.
Yeah, we talked about the Josh Allen comps. I mean, the Bills traded up from, what, 12 to 7 to draft Josh Allen, who many people viewed as, like, the third or fourth best quarterback in the draft like they view Trey Lance. You know, teams, like, there's probably going to be teams in the NFL that have Trey Lance as their number one or two quarterback on their board, which is, may sound crazy, but that's just, that's their thought process. And if we've seen it time and time again at the quarterback position, if you have your guy in mind, you go get him. And somebody's probably going to do that with Trey Lance. And it's going to be really fascinating to see how he fares in the NFL because ability-wise, his upside's massive. It's through the roof.
Well, and the other thing we could possibly see, too, like if we – and we've discussed this in previous episodes. Say if somebody like Atlanta were to trade back, you know, and do they trade back far, you know, like – do they make a trade to, say, 8 or 9 or 7 or whatever have you? And do they trade back a few spots? And do they grab Lance and pick up a few extra picks in the draft? I mean, I think there's a lot of different outs for Trey Lance. I don't think that he's going to fall, obviously, outside the first round. I think that he's going to be selected with inside that first top 20 picks. Now, the question is, where does he go? And I think there's a wider range of outcomes than a lot of people are giving credit or talking about here. All right, everyone, that is our prospect profile for Trey Lance. Again, Adam and I are going to be back discussing underdog best ball drafts. So if you have not gotten into one of these underdog best ball drafts, you need to hop in today. Adam and I are going to be breaking down our favorite targets, strategy, all these different things to dominate these early NFL best ball drafts. So head over to Underdog, use the promo code FTN, and if you don't like it, which I don't understand how that'd be the case, but if it is, Underdog will honor a money-back guarantee right now. In the first month, they'll refund you up to $100. So head over to Underdog, get drafting. Don't worry about setting lineups. Get drafting, get winning money today with the promo code FTN. For Faith of Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.